see why y'all wanted to put the shoe boxes up here now, so I'd have to walk over here instead of over there. Y'all don't get a break today from me. Come on, just walk down here. Alrighty. You know, I was sitting there, and as they were singing that song just now, it says it's your breath in our lungs, so we're going to pour out our praise to you. My mom has an uncle, and we call him Uncle Dan. And ever since I can remember, he had a stroke before I was born, and he hadn't been able to say a word the last 30, 35 years. And I can just remember going to visit him, and I could just imagine what he would say if he could talk. He's one of the happiest people I've ever seen in my life, although he can't say a word. And you know, if he could say a word, I believe he would tell us, praise the Lord for all the good things that He has done to him. The people were walking by when Jesus was riding on the donkey in Jerusalem, and they were all crying out, Hosanna to the highest, praise be unto our Lord. And the people said, why are they praising you? And Jesus looks at them and says, well, if they would hush, you'd hear these rocks crying out praise to me. One preacher said, I'm not going to allow a rock to replace my praise. I'm going to praise the Lord because He's given breath into my lungs. And we all ought to praise the Lord this morning for how good He's been to you and me. Because I'm not going to allow a rock to get in my way of praising the Lord. Well, as we approach Thanksgiving, I know I won't see all of you the rest of the week. All of you will probably, some of you have stuff to do on Tuesday, so I won't get to see you. I want to say happy Thanksgiving. And this morning, I just want to tell you how thankful I am for how good God has been to me. I could go on for the next 12 hours and tell you all the good things that God has given to me. I could start this morning. God woke me up this morning. That's a blessing right there. God gave me heat this morning in our house. God gave me a warm pillow to sleep on. God gave me a bed to sleep in. God gave me feet in order to touch the ground this morning. I woke up, God gave me warm water in order to take a shower. God gave me clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. I walked down to the kitchen and God gave me food to eat this morning. Then I walked outside and God gave me a truck to drive here. He gave me heat on the inside of my truck that I might be warm on the inside of it. God has given me you as my church family, and I thank God for that. God has been so good to you and me. Amen. It'll help if you say amen. But you know, all those things are things that could be, that are here today, those things could be gone tomorrow. And I want to say that although I'm thankful for these temporal things that God gives to me that could be gone, I want to say most of all that I'm thankful for some eternal things that God has given to me. God has given me salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent His Son to die for you and me, to shed His blood that you and I might have eternal life. God has given me a mansion just over the hilltop just for me. God's given me a home in heaven. God's given me provision here, although down in this life. God has given me a woman. God has given me a future wife that I prayed for ever since I got called to preach. God's given us a home to live in when we started praying for it. God has given me a church. When I got called to preach, I started praying that God would lead me to a church, and God led me here. I want to say this morning that I'm thankful for all that God's given to me. He's protected me in ways that I have no idea, and I won't know until I get to heaven in all the ways that I've been protected. I'm thankful that God hasn't dealt with me according to my sins, but rather He's dealt with me according to grace, Brother Johnny. Because if it was up to me, I'd be in hell this morning. But because Jesus came and died, and I've trusted in Him, we have a home in heaven, and I'm thankful for that. And as I said, I could take the next 5 hours, much to your displeasure, and tell you how thankful I am for all that God has been to me, and how good He's been to me, Monica, and my family. But you know, as I can get up here and shout praise unto God this morning, and be thankful for all that He's done for me as we come towards this Thanksgiving season, as we even draw near towards the Christmas season, we ought to be thankful. But the sad reality is this morning, for most people, the Thanksgiving and the Christmas season is not a happy time. For most people, this Thanksgiving you had a family member with you last Thanksgiving and they're not here this Thanksgiving. Last year, you weren't dealing with the same sickness you're dealing with this year. And last year, if I could have came to you last November and said, hey, this is what you're going to go through in the next 12 months, you would have never believed me. Because there's people in here that have been through some of the hardest times of their life. And the sad reality is, although this morning as we draw near towards Thanksgiving, the sad reality is, for most people, Thanksgiving isn't a happy time anymore. For most people, Christmas isn't a happy time anymore. It's a time of discouragement. We all get discouraged. And this is a time of where depression kicks in the most. And can I say depression's a real thing? And if we live long enough, we'll all get a touch of it. But as I said, for many, this holiday season, it's not a happy time for them. And all this week, I tried my best. I wanted to preach Psalm 92. I wanted to. The Bible says it's good to give thanks unto the Lord, and I wanted to preach that for the next 30 minutes. I even wanted to preach Psalm 100, where it says, come into His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. But on Thursday, the Holy Spirit led me in a different direction, and He led me to the story of a woman named Hannah. Because Hannah is someone that you and I can relate to pretty good. See, in the text that we're about to read this morning, Hannah was going through a time of depression. Hannah was going through a time of discouragement, just like you and I go through. And Hannah found herself at the lowest point she'd ever been in her life. And if you could take your Bibles, go ahead and turn them to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. We'll read a few verses this morning. Because Hannah has found herself in a place that you and I find ourselves, and many of you have found yourself this holiday season. Because you'll see that year by year goes by for Hannah. And it seems like nothing has changed. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. When it seems like nothing gets better. When things don't get better. Just for the next few minutes, that's what we're going to preach on. When things don't get better. If you find your place in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, we'll read the first 8 or 9 verses right here. The Bible says in verse number 1 that there was a certain man of, I'm not going to try to say that, it's Ramah, of Mount Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroboam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephratite. And he had 2 wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up unto the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? And not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. She vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. That's where we'll stop this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for the worship that we've already had, Lord. And I thank you for the songs that were sung that were uplifting to you, God. But now I pray that as we open up your word, God, I pray that you will open up the hearts of your people, Lord, that they may receive the message that you would have for them. And God, I truly believe in all my heart that this is the message for somebody in here this morning. So God, I pray that you'll cleanse me of all sin. I pray that you'll remove all flesh. God, fill us with your Spirit. And God, I pray that I know as people walked in here and we can all have smiles on our faces, but on the inside of our heart, God, they're hurting and they just need comfort. But God, there's nothing that I can say that can do anything for them, but I know the voice of God can help them in a way and can bring peace and joy and comfort to their situation like they've never had. So Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will walk up and down the aisles of this church, find somebody that's hurting, God, and give them comfort that only you can give. And Lord, I pray that if there's just one person that's in here today that's never trusted in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they do that before it's too late. Lord, I thank you all for that you've done for me. God, you've been so good to us. And Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I want you to see, firstly, as we've read this text this morning, I want you to see, number one, Hannah's misery. I want you to see, number one, Hannah's misery. Now, this man named Elkanah, the Bible says that he lived near the town of Ephraim, which is about 20 miles, I believe it's north of Jerusalem. Now, as we read about Elkanah here in the first 11 verses, he seems to be, although he has two wives, God bless him, he seems to be a pretty good husband. He seems to be a pretty righteous man because the Bible says he goes year by year to worship and to give his sacrifices unto the Lord. So he's doing what the Bible tells him to do year by year, probably this is probably Passover, to go and offer his things to the Lord. The Bible says he comes to a place called Shiloh. Back in Judges, this is where the place where the tabernacle was taken to be set up so that the people might come and worship the Lord in this place called Shiloh, and it sat here for a few hundred years until it moved in the time of David. But this man named Elkanah, the Bible says, has two wives, one named Hannah and one named Penina. Now the Bible tells us in verse number 4 and in verse number 2 that Penina has children and she's got plenty of them. Verse number 4, it says that she's got sons, all her sons and all her daughters. But the Bible states clearly to us in these first few verses that Hannah does not have any children. So I want you to see the number one reason why Hannah is in misery in this text that we read. The number one reason is because Hannah cannot have children. Hannah cannot have children. Maybe some of you know what that's like. But in Bible days, if a woman could not have a child, that meant that you were going to be an outcast in society. Because during these days, the Jews believed something. And they believed that if anything bad happened in your life, that meant that God was mad at you and He was punishing you. And if anything good happened in your life, that meant that God was pleased with what you were doing and God loved you and He was blessing you. So basically, you'll even find it in the New Testament. When people were rich, everybody thought that God loved them. And when people were poor, when people were beggars, when people were blind, when people had diseases, they're saying, this is your fault. It's because God's mad at you. It's because you've done something against God. So if you were poor, God hated you. And if you were rich, that meant that God loved you. And during these times, that's what Hannah was dealing with. Because she could not have a child, everybody in society looks at her and they're like, we don't want you in our house. You can't even have a child. Every other woman in this town has had a child, and you're telling me that you can't. It's obvious that God is mad at you. So not only Hannah here for the last probably 10, 15 years, as some say, Hannah has been dealing with the fact that she is barren and she can't have children. But not only is Hannah dealing with these outside voices coming, but she's dealing with something worse, I believe. She's dealing with something called the inside voice. And can I tell you, the inside voices that you and I hear are often a whole lot worse than what other people can say to us. Because we can think up some crazy stuff, can't we? And I'm sure Hannah is in the place in her life saying, well, maybe God does hate me. Maybe God is mad at me. Maybe I can't have children because God just doesn't like me. She's saying, maybe I committed a sin 10 years ago and this is my punishment for it and I'll never have a child. She's saying, I'm an outcast. I'm, I'm never going to fit in. And I can imagine her praying every night saying, God, why are you doing this to me? I see every other mother running around with children and here I am. God, why would you do this? And Hannah is in a place of absolutely being miserable. And I want you to notice that Hannah is doing exactly what she's supposed to do. The Bible says year after year, more than likely at the time of Passover, she would go to Shiloh, just like the law told her to do. And she would go and worship the Lord. She would go and bring her sacrifices to the Lord. And if this were written in our times, it would say that week by week, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Hannah went to church. She gave her tithe and she was doing exactly what she is supposed to do. She's serving God. She's obeying Him. She's giving her tithe. She's giving to Him. And guess what? Nothing changed. Absolutely nothing changed, although she was doing what she was supposed to do. So I want you to see that Hannah is in misery this morning because she can't have children. And I want you to see, secondly, one of the reasons why she's miserable is because she has an adversary. Verse number 6 says that although she couldn't have children, she's also got something else going on. Her adversary, which is Penina, provoked her sore for to make her fret or to make her miserable. So Hannah's just going up to Shiloh, trying to worship God. And every time she goes up, here's Elkanah's other wife, probably looking at her and saying, all right, kids, let's come together and have a family picture. All the kids come over here. Hannah, you go over there. You don't have any children. And she would probably walk up to Hannah and say, hey, my husband sure does love my children. Does he love yours? Oh. And she would just do that just to make her miserable. And Hannah's just there trying to go and worship the Lord. And every time she sees this woman, she provokes her. And says, you got to be kidding me. You think that my husband loves you? He doesn't love you. You can't even give him any children. So here's Hannah, not only, as I said, dealing with the fact that she thinks maybe God is mad at her, that God maybe does hate her. She's also dealing with this person named Penina absolutely making her miserable and ruining her life. And I want you to see in verse number 7 and verse number 8, Elkanah gets a little wind of what's going on, that Hannah is absolutely miserable. Because she's sitting at the dinner table, she's weeping, and she's not eating one thing. And the Bible says in verse number 8, Elkanah, her husband, walked up to her and said, Hannah, why are you weeping and why aren't you eating and why is your heart grieved? And he knows exactly why, because look what he says next. He says, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? He looks at her and says, listen, I know you can't have children. But if we were to have 10, am not I better to you than they could be? And he is trying his best to cheer up Hannah. He's trying to give words in order to cheer her up. But how many of you know this morning, when you're down, discouraged, and depressed, it don't matter what anybody says to you to try to cheer you up, it ain't gonna work. That's just the sad reality of it this morning. When you're down and depressed, people can come and try to say words to cheer you up, and they may help for a few seconds, but most of the time you don't go right back to being depressed and down and discouraged. Some of you know exactly where Hannah is this morning. Some of you have woken up daily and you found that the issue in your life still hadn't changed. You've woken up morning by morning. You even prayed the night before, God, just help me to wake up in the morning and this problem to be gone. And you woke up and it's still there. And you find that God hasn't really stepped in and done anything about it. You've prayed about it. You've prayed for it to go away, but God just seems to be silent on the matter. And I said earlier, if we live long enough, more than likely every single one of us are going to find ourselves in the place that Hannah is today. A place of being discouraged because it just seems like nothing in life can go right. And it may even seem like God is mad at you because He's not blessing you like He's blessing other people. But can I tell you this morning, although you may think God's mad at you, you may think God is not blessing you because of what you've done to Him in the past, and I'm sure Hannah thought that maybe God's mad at me. But let me say this. The Lord did not shut Hannah's womb because He was mad at her. But rather, the Lord shut up Hannah's womb because He loved her. And I'll get to that in a second. Can I tell you, when problems come into our lives, usually our first reaction, if we're being honest with ourselves this morning, is, God, what did I do to deserve this? God, what's my punishment for this? I know I committed that 20 years ago, and this just must be my punishment for that. And usually the first thing that pops into our mind is, we're going through a problem, we're going through a trouble, we must have done something to deserve this. But can I tell you, God does not bring issues and problems into our life because He's mad at us. Can I tell you, God brings problems and issues into our life simply because He loves us. You say, that don't make sense. Why would God, if He loved me, put me through trouble? I'll get to that in a second. But can I say, don't think God is mad at you because you're going through an issue in your life. You just got to stick to the truth of the Bible, where the Bible says that God loves you. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter what you are going through. So I want you to see this morning that Hannah is absolutely miserable in her life, as some people are this morning. Hannah can't have children. Hannah has somebody that's provoking her and tempting her and mocking her every single day. And the reason that she can't have children is listed for you in verses 5 and verses number 6. It wasn't because Hannah was too old. It wasn't because Hannah had something wrong going on in her body because she just couldn't have them because of health reasons. The Bible tells you exactly why she can't have children right now. Verses number 5 and verses number 6, at the end of verse 5, it says, the Lord shut up her womb. Verse 6, it says it again, because the Lord has shut up her womb. And when the Bible tells you something twice, that means it's important. Because the Bible wants you to know that Hannah did not do anything. She was not too old. Her body was not going through anything to where she could not have children, but rather the Lord was the one that did this to her. The Lord was the one that was taking her through this time. And I want you to see that God has a motive for every single issue you and I face. God has a reason. The Bible says God works everything for good, although we can't see it. So I want you to see this morning that Hannah is miserable. But secondly, I want you to see that God has a motive. That God has a motive behind it. See, in verse number 8 and verse number 9, Hannah has finally hit the tipping point. Hannah has finally come to the place where she says, I just can't take anymore. I mean, this woman is mocking her, and if I was Hannah, I'd be ready to give her a left hook by now. And Hannah found her place, or found herself in a place where her worry was just about to kill her. A lot of people are in the hospital this morning because of anxiety and worry. It'll put you right there. And Hannah has found herself in that place. And she didn't know if she could wake up one more day and go through it anymore. And some of you have woke up this morning the same way you've woken up the past few months and say, I have no idea how I'm going to make it through another day. And I need you to do exactly what Hannah did. She fell on her face before God in prayer. She didn't go to her family and say, I needed help. She went to the one who can give the best help. She went to the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 10, she was in bitterness of soul. This woman was bitter. This woman was dealing with issues. This woman had been dealing with it for a long time now, and she's bitter in her soul, and she can't take anymore. And she finally comes to the throne of grace and finds help. And she prays unto the Lord. And you'll find that she didn't come and pray for 2 hours, I don't believe. But the Bible will tell you that she prayed this one verse in verse number 11. One of the shortest prayers recorded for you and I in the Bible is right here in verse number 11. Some of David's prayers are pages long. Paul's prayers, even Christ's prayers, you can find them. They take up a whole page. Hannah's prayer took up one verse. And she says it right here in verse number 11. She's praying before the Lord. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord, if Thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of Thine handmaid, remember me and not forget me, but will give unto me a child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. In essence, what Hannah's saying here is, God, you know what I want more than anything in this world. God, you know for the past years, every time I come here to worship you, I've been praying for one thing, to have a child. And she said, Lord, if you just give me a child, I won't even keep him. but I will give him right back to you that he might serve you all the days of his life." And you see what Hannah just did was completely surrendered to God. And she said, "God, everything that I have is now yours." She says, "I cannot take it one more day." And she says, "If you'll just give me a child, I won't even keep him. But I'll give him right back to you to serve you all the days of his life." And you know what? That's exactly what God wanted for her to do. That's exactly what God was up to. For Hannah to come to him and say, "God, I can't take it anymore. God, I'm just going to give everything in my life right back to you." And she completely surrendered everything that she had to God. And that's what God wants from you and me this morning too. You see, had Hannah had this child 3, 4, 5 years ago, more than likely she wouldn't have given him back to the Lord. So see, what God had to do was bring Hannah to a place where she was absolutely miserable, bring Hannah to the place where she said, "God, everything that I have is yours." And I don't know how in the world God does it, but He does the same thing to you and me. He will bring you and me to a place in our life to where we say, "God, I'm miserable. God, I'm tired of dealing with this issue. God, I'm tired of dealing with this problem." And somehow, God brings us to the place where we finally fall down on our knees and say, "God, I can't do it anymore. I cannot take it anymore. So I'm going to give everything that I have to you because I've tried it my way. Now I'm going to try it yours." And Hannah completely surrendered everything that she had to the Lord. And you see, at one time in my life, I hate using myself in an illustration, but God brought me back to a time in my life to where an issue came up in my life, and I don't have to mention it. But it was a problem to where I'd wake up in the morning, and guess what? The first thing I thought about was that problem. When I'd go to sleep at night, you know what the last thing I thought about before I closed my eyes and went to sleep? That problem I was dealing with. And every morning I would wake up and have prayer and say, "All right, God, I don't know if I can do this. God, it's been 3 months now and you haven't changed anything. God, it's been 4 months now. I've been praying for you to change it, for you to take care of it, and you haven't done it. God, change this. God, change this. God, change this." And He never did. And you know what? All the while, I had no idea that as I was sitting there praying, "God, change it," you know what God wanted to change? Me. See, so often you and I say, "God, change this, change this, change this." But you know what God's more concerned with? Changing you. And Hannah finally came to the place where she said, "God, you can give me a child, but change me in the process, and I'll give everything that I have back to you." And I finally came to that place in my life dealing with that issue. And I woke up one morning, I remember thinking, I was getting my clothes on to go to work, and I remember thinking, "I don't know if I can think about this one more day. It's in my mind. I can't even read my Bible. I can't pray. I can't go to work. The only thing that I think about is this issue in my life, and God, I can't do it one more day." And I finally fell on my knees and I said, "God, you know I can't do this anymore." And I said, "God, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do now." And God brought me to that place where He said, "Are you ready to do it my way yet?" And I said, "God, I'm ready to do it your way." Because those 3, 4, 5 months, every morning I woke up, sorrow filled my heart, and I never knew if I'd be happy again. You know how we are. Usually we get a little cut on our finger and we're thinking, "Oh God, we're going to die. I'm the worst. If I have a cold, I'm going to ask Monica to take me to the hospital because I think I'm dying. Y'all women are tougher than us. I'll just go ahead and say it. Amen. If I get sick, I'm just ready to go to heaven right then. I'm sitting there blowing my nose. I'm just ready to go." But I'm telling you, God brings us to that place to where we finally get up and say, "God, I just can't do it anymore. And I'm now ready to do whatever you want me to do." And can I tell you, He'll tell you exactly what to do. And when you do it, something amazing happens. There was a man in up in Burlington, North Carolina. Y'all know where that's at. They had a revival up there, I think it was about 3 years ago during the summer. 3-4 months it went by. You had 10, 12 people getting saved every single night. They set up the tent right beside I-85, I-40, whatever it is. And every night, 2,000, 3,000 people would fill that tent, come to hear the gospel. Every single night, 20, 30 people walk the aisle and just keep on getting saved. And this man, who's a preacher now, tells the story that every night he would drive by I-85, whatever road that is, and he would see that tent. And finally, he got the nerve to say, "All right, what's happening there?" So he pulled over one night, went and sat on the back row of that tent. He said that old man of God, that preacher, got up there and he started preaching that Jesus died for him. Jesus could give him a new life if he would just accept him into his life. And he sat there with his arms crossed thinking, this Jesus stuff ain't nothing. But the next night he came back. And he said, "You know what, it's a little bit interesting. I'm going to go and see what happens." That old man got up there and said, "Jesus died for you. Jesus wants to save you. Jesus can give you a home in heaven. Jesus can change your life." And he sat there the exact same way and said, "I don't need it." But he tells a story that he went home that weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. He didn't sleep 1 hour. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He didn't hardly eat one meal. And on Monday, the tent was being set right back up. And on Monday, he said that God brought him to the place where he was absolutely miserable and didn't know what to do anymore. And he said, "God, if I go to this tent meeting tonight and I give my heart to you, I hope that you'll change my life because I just can't deal with this anymore." And that night, that old man got up there and started preaching the gospel one more time, and the invitation came and he got out and walked down the aisle and got saved. And he'll tell you the story that ever since that day, that sorrow that he felt, that misery that he felt turned into peace and it turned into joy just like that because he accepted Jesus into his heart. But God made him absolutely miserable until he did what he called him to do, to come and get saved. And can I tell you, if you've never trusted in Jesus this morning, you're saying, "I'm miserable," can I tell you that won't change until you invite Jesus into your heart. You say, "I've got Jesus in my heart, but I'm still miserable." Just give everything that you have to Him and start doing it His way instead of ours. And that's exactly what Hannah did. She came to her tipping point just like that man did. And she said, "God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I surrender all." And can I tell you this morning, you may think that God hates you because of what's going on in your life. You may think that God is mad at you for what's going on in your life. You say, "Look at my life. Look at what's going on. Every time I go to the doctor, I get bad news. Every time I look at my family, there's something going on. It's obvious that God doesn't like me, that God doesn't love me, that God is mad at me." But can I say, God is not mad at you this morning. God loves you and He wants to bring you to the place where you give everything to Him. And when you surrender and do exactly what He tells you to do, there is something unreal that happens in your life. And it's called the peace of God that passes all understanding. Verse number 10 in chapter number 1. I want you to look at it because something amazing takes place after Hannah prays in verse number 11. The Bible says in verse number 10 that Hannah was in bitterness of soul. Verse number 15 said that she was of a sorrowful spirit, and here she is pouring out her soul before the Lord because she just can't take it anymore. So we find Hannah praying right here and she's absolutely miserable. Now look at the next few verses, chapter 2 and verse number 1. Look at the next time she prays. Can I tell you, she's not miserable anymore. She's not filled with sorrow anymore. The Bible says in chapter 2 and verse number 1, Hannah prayed again and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." Her last prayer, she was in bitterness. Her last prayer, she was sorrowful. Her last prayer, she just couldn't take it. And this time she came to the Lord and prayed and said, "God, you've been so good to me." Can I tell you why? Because I've still got a Lord Jesus Christ who takes sorrow and turns it into joy. My Jesus still takes mourning and turns it into dancing, as the Bible says. My Jesus still takes your misery and turns it into joy. And can I tell you, my Jesus can take whatever you have in your life and turn it right around for His glory. Hannah was praying. She was miserable. Next time you see her praying, she said, "Praise God. God's been good. I rejoice in the Lord." You want to know why? Because God gave her what she wanted. God provided her a child, and she gave him right back to God and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord," because God changed her life just like that. God brings us to that place in our life to where we'll say, "God, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do now, because I can't deal with it anymore." And can I tell you, if you're there this morning, just give everything that you have to Him. There's a lot of people in here this morning. We can put smiles on our faces as we walk in and as you walk out. On the inside of your heart is grief, pain, hurt, and sorrow. Can I tell you, the Bible says, cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. I've got a God that cares for you. And I've got a God that, if you've never trusted in Him as your personal Savior, He won't turn you away today. And He's never turned away one person. And if you're miserable this morning, if you've never trusted in Him, come down here and He'll fill your heart with peace and joy like you've never experienced before. And He'll give you a brand new life in Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful this morning that as we approach this Thanksgiving week, we've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Can I tell you, there's people, you say, "That message wasn't for me. I'm happy this morning." Just look on the other side of the pew, because somebody's dealing with sorrow. Somebody's dealing with grief. And you know the reason God has blessed you and I so much is so that we might bless others. God gives you a smile that you might share it with somebody else. Because some people don't feel like smiling. But when they see yours, they might feel like smiling just because they see yours. God has given us so many blessings. Not to hoard them, not to keep them. But He wants you and me to give them to other people that aren't as blessed as you and I are. But you know what He wants the most? It's for you and I to give ourselves to Him. To give ourselves to Him. Musicians, you can come forth. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. It's just so real to us. And God, it shows us about people that are dealing with issues the same way that we deal with issues every single day. And God, I'm sure that there's people in here that are dealing with sorrow, and they just need comfort this morning. I'm thankful that my Bible says that You are the God of all comfort. So Father, I pray that if there's anybody in here dealing with grief and sorrow and they just don't think that they can make it another day, I pray that they'll find them a place on this old-fashioned altar and give everything that they have to You. Father, we thank You so much that You care for us, that You love us and You bless us beyond what we could ever even imagine. And God, I pray this week as we go out, as we approach Thanksgiving, that the Holy Spirit will make us sensitive to people around us. Because there's people hurting. There's people going through things that they never imagined they'd go through. Father, You've blessed us that we might be a blessing to them and bring joy into their lives. Father, I thank You so much for all You've done for us. And I pray, and God, just for that one person in here that may have never trusted in You as their Lord and Savior, I pray today would be the day before it's too late. And Lord, we thank You for all that You've done for us and for all that You mean to us. Father, we pray You'll have Your will and way in this invitation. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you would all stand.